Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Welcome, friends, to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artists, makers, and content creators, where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. I'm your host, Mike Brennan. You can connect with me over on Instagram, I'm at Mike Bone, or on my website, which is mikebrennan.me. I'd also love to extend an invitation to you to join our private Facebook group called Daily Creative Habit, where creatives of all types are gathering to raise their hand to say, I want to show up more consistently for my creativity and craft. If you would like to be a part of that community, it's absolutely free. Just head on over to dailycreativehabit.com and we'll get you right in. Can't wait to see you over there. Now for today's episode, I'm going to share a conversation that I had with three fellow artists that I actually interviewed for part of their upcoming exhibit. Actually, the exhibit's happening right now. It's called the PBJ Effect, and the artists are Pamela Robertson, Bonnie Anthony, and Judy Averro. And these ladies have come together to put this show on together, this exhibit. Their individual paintings that they created coming together, forming PBJ Effect. And we talk a little bit about the importance of their work, what they're trying to communicate, and how they do things individually, but then when they come together, the show just really takes on a life of its own. It's a true testimony to the power of collaboration. And that's really why I wanted to share that on this week's episode, is because I think sometimes we're so used to creating by ourselves. We're so used to getting an idea and executing it right away, or figuring out how we're going to pull it off, that oftentimes we kind of forget that we can invite other people into the process. And so maybe you're in a season right now where there are some people around you that you can collaborate with to create something far better than you could do separately. And so I hope you really enjoy this conversation I have with these lovely ladies. And also, just a reminder, the Creating Your Big Break Summit is happening very shortly, and you can get your free ticket if you are a performer, a musician, a creative, really of any type. This free summit is going to be an amazing opportunity for you to really lean in, learn some practical skills. Sometimes we need help, right? We need help figuring out what our next step is in the path, or we need some advice on how to actually put some things in motion so that we can start monetizing our creativity. Instead of waiting for your big break, instead of waiting for your, you know, for someone to come and discover you, it's taking initiative. It's taking ownership over your own journey and positioning yourself so that you can be seen, yes, by certain people and have certain opportunities come, but figuring out how to leverage all those things so that you can move into the space of where you want to be in your creative business and your creative endeavors. So again, I want to invite you to join us for the Creating Your Big Break Summit. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. The summit's happening February 10th through the 13th. And I want to really encourage you, check out this summit, because it will be a really beneficial thing for you, your own creativity, your own path. And it could just really unlock the next step that you need to take. So I know you're going to enjoy this episode with the PBJ Effect. These three lovely ladies, listen in as they share about their personal artwork and coming together for the PBJ Effect. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. I am so excited to be here with these lovely ladies. My name is Mike Brennan. I am a creator and communicator. I do visual art like you see behind me. And I also host a podcast called Creative Chats, where I speak with fellow creatives of all types of expressions, finding out a little bit about their story and their background and their work. And I love opportunities to connect with fellow creative people like we have here today with the PBJ Effect. And so the PBJ Effect is Pamela Robertson, and we've also got Bonnie Anthony, and we've got Judy Averro. And I am excited to be able to talk to these ladies about a little bit of their work, about this PBJ effect, exactly what it is, and what they're hoping that this will do for people as they encounter their work. So let's start things off here today. And Judy, I understand that you're the one who actually came up with the name PBJ effect. Can you tell us a little bit about where that came from?
Yeah, you know, it's such a challenge to find two words that express the depth and breadth of who you are and what you want to be. So we were all talking back and forth with emotional thoughts and metaphysical thoughts. And then finally, I'm doing just some reading in a science book. And there were three scientists who decided to name their experiments after their first name. And I thought, we're kind of like scientists, you know, we're creating and co-creating and making something new out of what we love to do best. I just played with the letters, you know, how they were. And then finally, what really struck with me, Mike, was the fact that the P, B, and J just hit an inner chord. I'm just a child at heart. And I thought, if we could be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at the same time, you just can't get better than that. So that's when I thought, okay, how's this, you guys? And bang, we're off. And what I think I love most about the concept of the PBJ effect is that it is an ever-growing vortexual energy. I'm going to use that word a lot today because we have co-created this energy, this synergy between us that is expansive and explosive at times and enlightening and self-actualizing. It is an amazing concept. And I don't know who gave me the name, but bang, there you are, the PBJ effect. Just stay tuned, everybody, and just see what we're going to do next.
Well, it also speaks to the power of collaboration, which I love. And any one of those things, you know, if we're talking the PB&J, actually peanut butter and jelly, any one of those things is great by itself. But when you put it together, it forms something special.
Yeah.
And I love that that's what you guys have done. You've come together with your own strengths and abilities and your own talents. And you've said, let's bring it together and create something even more powerful.
Yeah.
And also I think that, you know, wherever you can, you should serve peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as people are viewing your art. So Judy, why don't you start us off and tell us a little bit about your art? Like, what medium do you work in and what themes and motifs come about in your work?
Sure, Mike. This is an ongoing thing for me, of course, what artist doesn't keep creating and expanding, but through this group, I've come to really embrace the Batik method. And by that, I mean, it's a wax resist. You melt wax and pour it onto rice paper. I import the rice paper from Japan. It's a really nice high quality paper and it allows me to layer paint. So I'll paint a part of the picture and then put the wax on that to preserve it and continue with the layers until I feel the painting is finished. I'll iron the whole thing off. And then from there, I get to embellish with acrylic paint, maybe, or watercolor pencils or crayons to finish the piece. I think my favorite part about the Batik method is that it is a surprise. You never really know until you're done how it's going to turn out. And a lot of my process these days is I'm creating different approaches and pushing myself to do something new and different with it is it's a lot of, how am I going to fix this? So it allows my inner child again, you know, to come out and to play and to connect in a way that I got to say at the end of the day, it just makes me feel happy. I love doing this. And that's what I'm hoping shows that childlike spirit and the mystical, magical things that I adore. And the exploration, this is what I'm hoping will touch others and maybe ignite in them their own little inner spark to reconnect that to them. That's really, I think, a main goal of what I love to do.
I love how you explained in your process that there is this
experimentation, this play that's at work, and almost like a dance, a response that you have with your work, because you don't know certain things that are going to happen. You're applying technique, you're applying a method, but there may be unexpected results. And then figuring out, what are you going to do with those? Are you going to lean into certain things? Are you going to keep certain things? Or are you going to respond and then try and change those things a little further? And I love that you're able to engage with your art and your creativity in that way, through that methodology. And even how you describe your process, you know, it seems like it's very involved in the process. It's not simply just making marks on a page. So there is process that has to unfold in that. But ultimately, I think your sense of play and experiment with that process even comes through in your work, and that joy and that happiness that you talk about, that's very evident. And that's not just you as a person, as an artist, but then it also comes through your work and speaks to other people as they view your work. And they say, you know what? This makes me feel happy. This makes me feel
perfect
joy. And that's the power of art, right? It's amazing.
You bring up an excellent point. And I think, especially now at this COVID, whatever it's been happening, it's a total upheaval. And it has unearthed so many not working things in life. And what I'm hoping, what I love about the art that we perform together and the love and encouragement that we use as a group to explore and expand, what I'm hoping is that one painting at a time, we're going to heal the world. You know, that's my little kid thought, you know, is, you know, okay, just share joy. That's happening. Just be happy. Share joy. It sounds maybe a little trite, but it's really what I'm all about.
Yeah. I think when you can create something and have it have an impact on somebody else, even if it's just for a moment, and even if it just seems to be, hey, you're making somebody smile, that's a smile that they weren't experiencing previously.
Yeah.
And so if you have the power to be able to create art that does that, that leaves that impact on somebody else, and to the point maybe where they purchase your work and they put it on their wall, and every time they look at it, they enter into that place of, yeah, I'm, this makes me feel happy. This makes me feel a sense of peace or joy. That is a gift that keeps on showing up in that person's life. And, as artists, we get to play a part in that. And that's huge, huge.
But if you look at a whole, at just this first show that we're doing together, you can see a cohesiveness and a sameness of thought and feeling and love and emotion that goes in the meditation and the mystery and the magic that's in all of our paintings. You know, as you continue with the interview and you speak with the others, everyone's going to see that there is an interweaving of hope and dreams and desires for all good things.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that just keeps me coming back to this group.
And that's a beautiful thing. Even in that each one of you has a very specific style and different medium maybe that you use and different methods that you employ, but yet you're all rowing in the same direction, trying to achieve the same thing. And it's almost like a mosaic, you know, where you have these different parts and it all comes together to make something beautiful. I'd love to move on. Bonnie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your work and some of the things that are themes for you and what it is that you're hoping to achieve through your work?
Wow. Okay. I'll try to fulfill all those wishes. Well, some of my methods are unorthodox, I guess. I feel really selfish because it's a self exploration for me. And I start with layering, which represents the layers of myself. And I hope people can relate to that. My process is starting with fun. I have to start with fun and splashing and scraping and all that kind of stuff, because that puts energy into the painting. And then the next phase is I just start refining from there, using acrylics and pencils and, you know, charcoal and smearing and all that kind of stuff. And then from there, working with oil and cold wax on top of that, just puts another layer on that. Oops, just lost my thing. So did that answer one question? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that okay? All right. And I just, what else was I going to say? Oh, dang it.
So
it's exploration of self. It's exploration of self, you know, and it's just like peeling back an onion. You just, you know, go through the layers and, let's see.
Well, I love that you're expressing that in the layer, format, yeah, because it's true. Each one of us has several layers, and we may even have different roles and responsibilities in our lives and different like seasons of our life. We're so complex as people.
Yes.
And for you to be able to interpret that and for your work, think about yourself and go, okay, there's layers to who I am. There's layers to my experiences and my passions and the things I want to express. And then take that to the canvas and say, okay, physically, this is going to be a representation of that, even in your mm-hmm. process that you've just described, in, you know, this looseness, this splattering, and then this refining, and then adding different elements and different mediums in there. It's this process and evolution that's happening as you're right. talking about your work.
Yes. And a lot of my paintings have to do, with age, the aging process, in our bodies and of the earth. So that's where the layering comes in.
Yeah.
So while you say that there's self-exploration, but they're also the what you're talking about is very universal. And I think that's what makes your paintings so
all
powerful.
Humans go through it.
Right.
So yeah. So what does people relate to that?
Well, right. And I was gonna ask, what is it that you hope that as people look at your work, what is it that you hope it speaks to inside of them?
That's a good question that, I don't know. I feel that, we're not only creating paintings, but they create us. Our art creates us. This is an answer that I struggle with because I can't speak for other people, mm-hmm. which, you know.
Well, I'm sure that as you're creating this, as you're creating your work and you're putting it out there, that you're hoping that it forms a connection with somebody, right? And
yes,
that they see something, they see something in your experiences and in your work, even in the techniques that you use, that speaks to them as a person and their own experiences, that when they see it, they go, mm-hmm. she understands me, or right. I understand where she's coming from in creating this work because I've had similar mm-hmm. thoughts, experiences, or interests. When you form that connection with somebody through your work, that can be something very powerful. Again, in you're representing something, you're bringing to light something that, and giving a voice almost to mm-hmm. something that somebody may not actually be able to express, but because you've created that piece of art, it's expressed it for them. And then they can go, oh, thank you so much for doing that, because that is exactly what I wish I could express, but you've done it for me, you know?
Yeah. That's what we all hope to portray.
Yeah.
And in this group, I'm just learning so much. This has been just an eye-opening experience this past few months, you know, with Judy and Pamela. They've taught me so much. It's an amazing group.
Well, how does
Mike, but I've got to say something. I want you, Bonnie has a magic hand with that cold wax and the color. She can apply it. She's bold and courageous. It just boggles my mind sometimes when I watch her. We get to see the images as they begin and go through the ends. And she has such a courageous way with, I'm just going to do this. And she covers it up. And then she starts peeling back layers. Now, haven't we all done that, right? Isn't that all? And that's part of the magic that's in her pieces. They're so layered and so deep that you're not even sure what you're looking at, but you really feel it. You can feel, when you get to know Bonnie, you can feel her coming out of that painting. And it is a powerful experience. Powerful. So it was just speaking to what you were just saying, Mike, was that, oh, thank you for saying that. You know, you just said what I feel in my heart or in my body. And that's what she can do. So Bonnie, I was hoping thank you would Judy. Just, you're welcome. I was hoping you would say a little bit more about that cold wax and how you apply it and how you take that. That's a little bit fuzzy for me.
Well, cold wax, you mix it in with oil paint. It has a lard like consistency. So you can mix it with oils, you can mix it with pastels, and it's really versatile. Just another layer in your work, and you can buff it and make a nice sheen on your painting. And I just use it as another layer, you know, another layer. You should try it. Have you tried it?
I think I will.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Anyway, I have an easier time painting than I do discussing my process and all this, but.
Sure. But you know what the funny thing is, I heard somebody say once, what's obvious to you is magic to other people. And so often as creative people, we go to things that we understand, that we've learned to adapt into our process, and it becomes kind of second nature to us. And we don't necessarily think it's a big deal, mm-hmm. but for somebody else, that could actually be the thing that if they're a fellow creative person, a fellow artist, they may be mystified by what it is that you do and how you do it. And you could be holding the keys to unlock something for their journey. Then other people who are not artists look at a lot of things that we create and they're just, their heads spin because they're like, I don't even know how you think of that. I don't know how you see that. I don't know how you express that.
I love it.
Thank you that you do. Yeah. You know, yeah. Who wants a Pamela? Let us know a little bit about your work, about, you know, your process and what it is you're hoping to communicate through your art.
Yeah. Well, I paint in acrylics and I work in an abstract way. This is my work behind me. And I build like these kind of alien landscapes. I called it like I'm an emotional landscape painter because I do think what's coming up in my paintings is about the interior life, whether that's in your head or your heart. And way back in college, many, many years ago, these symbols started coming up for me. And I found it was a really great way to be able to talk about things in my painting without actually using words. And they just kind of morphed into this library of things that have kind of a meaning for me. And it's interesting because then I can put them out into the world. And because it's not letters or words, then the world can adopt these symbols to mean what they mean for them. And I love that idea of somebody having a personal connection with the art. So, well, they may not be the creator of it, but they could love that piece and it means something to them and it speaks to them as an individual, even though it may not have anything to do with where it came from out of me. So I like to keep my things pretty loose and really try to get out of my own way when I'm painting. I know I'm successful when I feel like a conduit, like the energy is just kind of coming through me and then there's stuff kind of coming up. And it is a dance to get out of the way of your own self so that you can access this really good, juicy stuff that's happening. And it's been really fascinating because I'm in that flow right now. I'm riding the wave. I'm a very good surfer right now, just getting pushed along. And, you know, I spent a whole day painting on this painting and it just was going nowhere. And it was tough, but it was the first time where I wasn't beating myself up about it and going, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I lost the spark. Will I ever be able to paint again? All that stuff that I think a lot of artists go through. And instead I was of the mindset of like, you know, it's okay if this doesn't work out, but just kind of just see where it goes. Just keep seeing where you're going to go. I was very kind to myself, which was nice. And then I did, and that's what I did. And then at the end of the day, I had a piece of art and it was pretty great because I didn't, you know, I really didn't expect it to happen. And it was a really nice surprise. And it's been a very interesting experience to kind of be able to get out of my own way and really let what it feels to me is real honesty come up through it. And so I do, I think when I look at my paintings, you know, I see little stories and I see little people and I see them in a very kind way. So they're like, one of the ways I try to explain my art is if you could imagine what the world would look like if everyone didn't have a body, right? So it's just everybody's souls walking around. And then, of course, they couldn't live in this world because that would be, it wouldn't work. So what does that world look like that those energy beings, those souls would live in? What would that world look like? So gravity is different. Everything is different. And that's where I like to play when I look back at my paintings. Now, when I'm doing the paintings, I'm not there. I'm in a different state altogether. But when I'm done with it, that's what I tend to see. And a lot of people see like musical instruments in my work, which I think is really interesting because I don't think about musical instruments when I paint. And, but I think music too also has a lot of emotion. So it would make sense, I think, that people would pick up on stuff like that. Because there's a lot of lyricism in the shapes that I make and that kind of stuff. But my goal is really just to find that my art finds those people that look at my work and go, oh, wow, I could just get lost in this thing. Like it's telling a story and it's different all the time. And, you know, it's sort of like an emotion, like a mirror to your emotions. So if you're feeling kind of blue and that painting kind of works, because I can see this kind of struggle and the strife, or if I'm really happy, I love it because there's all this energy. So yeah, I'm just really looking for that personal connection. And it's a gift when it happens. But I think that's the general, what every artist wants, you know, someone to see your piece and go, oh yes, I want to live with that piece. Spend the rest of my life with that piece.
Yeah. I love how you expressed it in terms of emotional landscape. It's such a visual and imaginative phrase for people to latch onto. And as they look at your work, to see that and experience that. And you mm-hmm. so beautifully stated how that comes about for you and what you're hoping that connection looks like for people. And you know, the fact that you can create something and have one meaning for you and then for somebody else, something completely different. That's also something kind of like mystical and magical. And to know that it's almost like this collaboration that you have with your viewer and with your collector, because they're bringing something to your work as well.
Right.
They're bringing their experiences, they're bringing their emotions, the things that are important to them to your work. And then it almost like takes another life
exactly
as it leaves your hands and then goes into the homes of their, you know, of theirs. And
exactly. And it's just as valid. And I think, and to me personally, as a person and as an artist, that's really important to me too, the democratization of art, so that it's no longer art is on this little pinnacle where only the very special elite people get to enjoy it because you have to have a special education to understand it. I think is the biggest, one of the biggest crimes against humanity that we've let happen, because we're the only species on the planet that draws a line in the sand and says, this line has a specific meaning. And this is, and it's amazing that we do it. We are creators. So I love the idea of art being released onto the world, because, and I think everyone can enjoy abstract art too. Not that they, I mean, they can choose not to, but I think that it is, it's not about knowing something special. Mm-hmm. I love the passion of art, of the real creators and the people who really love art because it speaks to them as an individual. That's the art world I want to live in. And I think it's a really broad, wild, wonderful place that includes the majority of people.
Easy to lose that because people... So anyway, what were we saying, Judy?
Oh, it was just simply about what Pamela was touching on about, you know, it's not a magic place, not a magic place. It's not a boxed in place. And I think that what gets written about mostly is something that I term like head art or brain art. And that seems to get that, you know, I'm just saying New York and then you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. And what Pamela was addressing was, you know, our desire as a group to give validation to those that may not think, I don't know enough, or I'm not good enough, or I can't do it, or, you know, to reach a broader audience and to give them
a place to play,
piece of themselves back, a place to play, but another piece of themselves back, because we give ourselves over too much to authority and to what others have told us all our lives is right. And there isn't any other than your connection to your source and yourself and your own inner guidance. And that's what we're doing together. You know, that's what we're doing.
Well, I love that it's you're taking ownership over your own journeys,
yes,
your own art, and you're saying, listen, I know that there are other people who feel the same as I do, and proof that you three are it, right? That you're coming together and encouraging each other and helping each other hone your skill and your craft. I'm sure you're probably speaking into each other's art and lives and saying, you know what, we want to make this art accessible to people. And we want to be able to give people the opportunity to connect and to identify what's important for them, and then to see what we're passionate about and see where those things align, and to have those moments where art does what it does best and it speaks and communicates in ways that we often fail at in everyday conversation or in other ways. Mm. There is something that is truly otherworldly when it comes to creating art that I'm sure we could all attest to as being artists.
Absolutely.
In the process, and then also in the connection that happens with the people who experience our art. I would love to hear from each of you, how has this collective impacted your work? You know, is it giving you opportunity to get feedback? Is it giving you opportunity to maybe feel less alone? Like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but for each of you, what has been your experience for that? And Pamela, why don't we start with you?
Okay. It's a real community. I've not met these two fabulous people in person, although that is in the works, but they're my friends, and we get a little panicky and anxious when we don't get to talk to each other on a regular basis. It's quite funny. But we do, we sit down and we look at our work and we critique each other's work, and we share ideas and we push each other, you know, to explore that idea, or we challenge, you know, those kind of automatic phrases that come out of our mouths, like I'm not good at this, or I can't do that. And we really do kind of say, wait a minute, is that true? I know it's true for me when I'm in my studio painting, I've got these two ladies with me talking to me and saying, hey, it's okay. Like, it's just another painting. And, oh, I can't wait to show them this. Like, this is, you have an ongoing audience who kind of knows your process, and they can, you know, because so often, you know, anybody doing anything, but especially as an artist, you can't really see what you're doing all the time, because like you said earlier, Mike, you know, you're kind of used to doing it, so it's just kind of automatic, and you kind of lose that perspective of how special it is what you're doing. And so being able to share that with people, to kind of mirror that back and go, slow down, hold on, this is kind of amazing, and you need to take a break and stop with the negative self-talk, but just take a break and look at what you're really doing. And then I think you'll start to see what we're seeing, which is pretty powerful stuff. And so, it's an ongoing collaboration, even though we're scattered all over the globe. I mean, I'm in Florida, Bonnie's in Colorado, and Judy's in Hawaii. So, but we're really close. We're really tight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 How about you, Bonnie?
Oh, this group has, I'm so insecure still, but I've come a long way, because they've both told me to shut up.
We don't tell her. I've not told her to shut up. I've told the bully inner critic that comes out and says terrible things. I told that one to shut up. So let's be clear.
And okay. All right. Yeah. They are on my shoulder when I'm painting. I hear their voices, like Pamela said. just, they say, just keep going, you know, yeah. And what would these guys do? And it holds me accountable for painting every week. I mean, you know, you have to show a painting, and critiquing is just amazing. And they're honest critiques, and it's given me permission to be my authentic self. You know, I just really appreciate both of these ladies. I'm addicted to this group.
And yeah,
there's lots of love. Withdrawals when I don't see them.
Me too. Just,
something's missing, you know. So
yeah,
I just really appreciate both of their art and their selves. Self.
But you, Judy.
As these two were talking, I was thinking, you know, there is the family you're born into with varying stages of success. And then there's the family that you seek and find. And especially at this time of upheaval and huge emotional shifts, to me, it's been vital to find a tribe. Everyone needs a tribe, Mike, right? Everybody needs someone who gets them and loves them no matter what, and encourages them and sees more in them than they've been taught to see in themselves before. Yeah. And so what feeds me is knowing that I'll get honest feedback from this group, but I'll also get loving feedback from this group. And that is an open-ended path to my future self. It does not get better than this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. We're lucky.
Yep. And that's the BBJ effect.
Yeah. And hearing all that from you, I'm sure people are going to have a deeper appreciation for what you do individually as well as collectively.
Yeah.
And that it's not just a random bunch of strangers putting work together, you know, and putting it up on a website and be like, hey, look at this, or you know,
right,
pooling resources or whatever. But it's really something more organic and relational and true collaboration and community, like you have said and expressed. And that's something that when people see that, they respond to that. And hearing from each of you individually, as well as collectively, in your words and in your work, is the thing that will continue to attract people and continue to make them come back and say, I can't wait to see what other work that you create. I can't wait to be a collector and a cheerleader and supporter. Because you have touched them in some way. You have made an impact on their lives. And that's special and rare in today's day and age, where so many people are just either trying to survive or trying to look out for themselves.
Yeah.
You ladies have made a way where you can create the work that's important to you, but then also release that to impact other people's lives and make it about them. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So as we wrap things up, where can people go to see the work, and just give us a little context on the collective show?
Well, we have a sneak peek website at thepbjeffect.com. Nice and simple. You can join a mailing group there, a mailing list there, to kind of stay in touch with us and kind of see a sneak peek of our work and a little bit about us. And then the show itself actually opens up on the 29th, and that'll be on a separate website. And then the link, you'll find that link on our website, just to keep it simple. And thepbjeffect.com is
the PBJ effect. So everyone needs to make sure that they go and get on that list and make sure that they know what's happening and follow along and be part of this journey. Cause
it's amazing. And honestly, we are these three people. And so if you feel like sending us an email saying, Right. We like you. I love that one piece. You would make our day. You don't even know. Yeah. Back and forth communication. It would mean so much. And not just for us, obviously, any artist that you see, if you drop them a line, you don't know, whoa, I'm going to cry. You don't know the ripples of joy that you will send around the world, and it will touch them and all the other people that they touch. It's huge. Artists are would love to get someone who's not an artist to say, hey, I like that. It means a lot. So thanks for everybody who does that. It means more than you may understand. It means a lot.
Yeah. Such good stuff. And ladies, I want to thank you so much for sharing your work, sharing the thoughts behind your work, your methodology and your experiences and your hearts, your very selves with each other and then with us. The world needs more of that. So thank you so much for this time.
Thank you, Mike, so much. I really appreciate this.
So that's it for this week's episode, friends. And I hope that you were challenged, maybe had some insights and some practical takeaways from this episode. If you found it helpful, and maybe you thought of a friend that could also find it helpful and insightful, why don't you just take a moment and share this episode with them and let them know you were thinking about them. Also, if you're interested in purchasing my new book, it's available on Amazon and it's called Infectious Art. And also, again, if you would like to join our Facebook group, it is dailycreativehabit.com. We'd love to have you in there and see some of the stuff that you're doing or want to do. So regardless, today, make sure that you go create something.